So our second reading of Scripture this morning comes to us out of the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the first of two that we have, that he wrote to the Corinthian church. That was a congregation that Paul had helped to found some years before, and then he had taken off to do additional ministry in the Mediterranean regions. Several years had passed by, and now the Corinthian congregation has some questions, concerns about certain things, and so they began writing him a letter, and this is the first that we have. In this letter, they articulated a whole series of concerns, and you can almost see Paul now in another location, sitting down somewhere at a table or a desk, and he has their letter in front of him. And he responds point by point by point in the letter that he writes back to them, this epistle that we know as 1 Corinthians. By the time he gets to this part of chapter 10 that we're going to be reading from, clearly his answers have to do with their questions, questions that have to do with trials and temptations that all Christians have everywhere in their lives. So he answers, partially anyway, with these two really brief but very important verses. And this is what he wrote. "So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, He will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it." This is the word of the Lord. So there was this guy who was being inducted into the army, and he thought he figured out a way that he was going to be able to beat the system. What he figured he'd do is that he would walk into the examination room and he would tell the doctor that he had double vision. So the day finally came, he shows up, standing there in his underwear, walks into the examination room, and the doctor says in this really, really loud voice, "Hey, hey! Can you see that eye chart over there on the wall?" And the man says, "No, not really, doc, because I've got double vision, so the chart's all blurry." And the doctor says, "Congratulations, son, you've passed." And the man said, "Well, how in the world could I possibly pass? I just told you it's all blurry." And the doctor says, "Because this was your hearing test." Does it sometimes seem to you as though life is a whole series of tests? Now, I want to say right here at the outset, make it quite plain, I do not believe that God ever intentionally tests us. I don't think we worship a Lord who for some reason is going to put stumbling blocks or burdens or problems in our pathway, and a God that does that on purpose just to see how we're going to struggle through them all. That is not the God of the New Testament. That is not the God who sent us Jesus Christ. It is not the God who wants to walk with us in the Spirit every day. God never deliberately tests us with trials and tribulations and traps. But life, oh yeah, life does. Life does test us. Life has a way of making us feel as though we are being pushed, measured. All of this just seems to be part of the human experience that you and I have together on this place called planet Earth. So that's why we're looking once again at this particular passage for our scripture reading this morning. It's very simple. I know we've all heard it quoted 100 different ways, 100 different times. It's God's faithful messenger, the Apostle Paul, sharing his wisdom and his knowledge, and he says there is no test you're ever going to experience that's not common to everybody. But God is faithful, and God will not let you be tested beyond your strength. You know, life is kind of like a school. And a school that has a variety of tests that sooner or later all of us have to take. And all of us have to try to pass. They are the tests of failure, rejection, heartbreak, 100 other difficult times that we all face as you and I together walk through this life. Some of the tests are really difficult. Others are as easy as a summer's breeze. Some are painful. Some are just merely an inconvenience. But life tests us all. When we're younger, maybe the tests have to do with academic competition or peer pressure. Or maybe it's dealing with the physical changes inside our body that are starting to happen as we mature. Or maybe it's the acute social embarrassment we sometimes feel when we're young because we just don't seem to fit in anywhere. When we're adults, the tests become things like maybe finding a mate, raising a family, dealing with a business that fails, dealing with a marriage that fails. Maybe it's a concern about our financial future. Yeah, and then when we become seniors, the tests don't exactly get easier, do they? Now it's health crises. Now it's economic setbacks. Now it's something like the loss of a spouse. It's watching our friends battle illnesses. It's watching our own independence being threatened by advancing age. So life really is, in many ways, a series of tests. And they don't get easier as we get older. But here's what you and I need to acknowledge loud and clear. By these tests, yeah, we're challenged. By these tests, we are stretched. But by these tests, we sometimes also grow. If there were never any obstacles to overcome, you and I would never have reached any level of maturity. Think about that for a minute. Suppose you had a baby. And as you had that baby, you did everything for it that it could possibly ever want, ever need. Imagine that you never let that child confront any kind of obstacle at all, kept it in a bubble more or less. Imagine further that you literally carried that child around and handed it everything that it needed, even fed it, day after day after day, as it grew from being a newborn to an infant, to a toddler, to a child, to a teenager. What do you think would happen to that kid? Well, it would be stunted in growth, wouldn't it? Be stunted emotionally and mentally and physically as well. So, you see, we learn by confronting tests, whether the test is learning to walk for the first time, or the first words we begin to speak as we learn to talk, or maybe when we begin school and we start to learn how to read. If there's no obstacle to overcome, then there's never any growth. Or as the athletes often say, no pain, no gain. Then again, some of these tests hurt, and they hurt a lot. No matter how strong we might be or how great our faith might be, some of these tests can really knock the wind out of us. They can turn our whole world upside down in the mere blink of an eye. Some of these tests hurt so much that we feel as though we're never going to have a happy moment in our life again. They hurt so much, we just want to pull the covers up over our heads and never care again about anything or anybody. And that's exactly when we need to read Paul's words again, where the apostle tells us, God's faithful. God's there. No matter where you are, God is faithful and God is there. God is not going to allow these tests of life to totally overwhelm you. Now, I'm standing up here this morning in front of you, and I'm going to be the first to tell you that is an incredible promise. It says no test, none, is ever going to come your way that you can't pass with God's help. Maybe we think we're going to crumble some days. Maybe we think we're going to go under. But this is God's promise to you and to me in big, bold letters in the New Testament. A promise that says, no, with my help, you can survive this. Some years ago, I read a really fascinating true story about a 10-year-old boy who decided that he wanted to take up the martial art of judo. And what made the story really remarkable was the fact that this kid had only one arm. Seems he had lost his left arm in some kind of tragic accident years before when he was like 7 or 8 years old. So, and this sounds like the repeat of a movie plot. Here's this kid, 10 years old, no left arm, and he takes up judo. And of course, he has trouble finding anybody who's willing to take him on as a student to instruct him. Finally ends up with this old Japanese master. I told you, it sounds like a movie plot. Well, they work together and things go pretty well for a while, but after about 3 months, the little boy can't figure out why it is the master has only taught him one judo move, just one. And so finally, he screws up enough courage to ask, and he says, "Teacher, shouldn't I be learning more moves than just one?" And the judo master replies, and he says, "This may be the only move you know. It may also be the only move you will ever need." Well, kid didn't understand, but he trusted in his teacher, believed in what he had said, and so he kept on training. About a year went by, and the judo master decided it was time to take the little boy to the first tournament. And surprising everybody in the arena, the kid actually won his first two matches. Then came the third one, which was a little more difficult, but after some time, his opponent became impatient in the ring, and he charged at the kid, and the little boy deftly used his one move, and he won the match. Even he was amazed at all the success he was experiencing, but now he found that he was all the way at the top of the tournament. He was now in the final. And this time, though, his opponent was much bigger, much stronger, much older, and much more experienced. And to everybody watching in the arena, it seemed that this little 10-year-old kid with no left arm was seriously overmatched, and they even considered maybe not allowing the match to go forward. But the judo master walked out, and he intervened, and he said, "No, let him do it. Let the match continue." So the match resumed, and sure enough, at one point, the boy's opponent made a critical mistake. Just for an instant, just for that split second. And immediately, the little boy used his move, his one move, to throw his opponent, pin him on the mat, and won the match. Also won the tournament. Also went home as the champion that day. So he and the judo master are driving back home in the car. And they were reviewing every move that was made in every one of the matches. And finally, the boy again worked up enough courage to ask a key question. It was really what was on his mind. And he said, teacher, how did I win the whole tournament with only one move?" And the old man said, "You won it for two reasons. First, you took one of the most difficult moves in all of judo, and you made that your one move. The second reason you won is the only defense for that one move is for your opponent to grab your left arm." What an incredible story about life. His opponent couldn't grab something that wasn't there. And with his teacher's help, you see, that boy's biggest weakness then became what amounted to his greatest strength. When you and I are faced with a daunting challenge, when we think it might be our undoing, I wonder if we've ever considered asking God to show us an open door somewhere, to show us a means by which we might endure, so that not only we might survive, but that we actually might thrive. Here I am, Lord. I'm a single parent. Where is the door that I can walk through to help my kids? Here I am, Lord. I've just lost a loved one, and there is this huge hole in my heart. Here I am, Lord. I've just lost my job again, and the economic times ahead now for me look really tough. Here I am, Lord. I've got this really scary doctor's appointment tomorrow morning. Here I am, Lord. Here's my situation. Is there some way that I might not just thrive and survive the test, but that I might actually grow through it? You and I can never count God out. And no, I'm not being some kind of superficial spiritual Pollyanna here. Believe me, life can be tough. I learned that for a fact in my professional life as a pastor and in my personal life as a human being. I've seen it in the lives of countless numbers of church members in the congregations that I was privileged to serve for almost 45 years. And I've sure seen it in my own life, up close and personal. Some tests, when they come our way, at first they seem to be unpassable. But it's also true, you know, that when that happens, we can get so wrapped up in our own cocoon of emotions, we can get so consumed by our own sense of hurt and anger and loss that we fail to see it ain't over yet. Not by a long shot. Perhaps we have hit a detour and we never ever expected this to happen to us. And it's taken us over here into some kind of unknown territory. We've never been there before. And this new road that we're on feels real foreign, feels real threatening. It's real dark, and we are real scared. But still, there is much that God can and will bring into our lives, because we worship a Lord who stands with us through every test of life. We worship a God who will always offer us the strength that we need in some form or another, in some way or another. The strength that we will need to endure, to survive, to surpass, and to overcome. For you and me, that's a promise we need to hold on to this day. It's a promise we need to hold on to all days. It's a promise that we can hold on to through this season of Lent, but it's also a promise we can hold on to through all the seasons of life. Amen.